Well, hello, everybody. This is Ted Vell from Miami, Florida. I am tickled beyond words to have been invited here to South Florida, Jackie Vail's house. You know, Phil said to me, I know Phil will be along in a moment. Well, here he is right now. Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, you had said to me that you were reluctant to invite me here to South Florida because you felt I was busy at the restaurant. And you're right. You're very right.
Yeah, I thought, Ted, you're always talking about how you can't get away. In fact, you had a series of tweets.
I did.
That said that you were overworked.
Well, okay, who is this again?
This is Dr. Jim Sadler's here. And the reason why Dr. Sadler's here is you can see.
Yeah, exactly. Phil cut his hand on the door here. We've had a crazy Dr. Sadler.
Yeah, Phil Hendry cut his hand on the door. I was able to take a stitch.
Well, no, you didn't. You just bandaged it.
Right, but I wanted people.
I guess he wanted people to think he took a stitch. Well, a stitch in time saves nine, huh, Doc?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what you said to me, and I can go back and read the tweet, but basically you said that you're so sick and tired of working that you were going to have Ted miss.
All right, okay, wait. Let me do this. I apologize, folks. I mocked Christmas. I said we're going to have Ted miss the three wise men salad, and that there would be lamb chops, ha-ha, because of the stable, and they'd be fresh from Chef Chedilia's, you know, stable, the lamb chops, and a lot of other very blasphemous things, okay? Let me just do this, Phil, okay? As long as it's fresh in my memory. You want something?
No, I wanted to make sure that everyone knows that I took it. I did not take a stitch, although I could have, but we were able to bandage it.
Yeah, okay.
He can sit here and talk and listen to you talk.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Sadler, very much.
Yeah. You think I'm some... I know I'm a big ugly slob and I look like a freak, but I want to tell you something. I'm Dr. Jim Sadler.
Okay, look, give me the Anthony Quinn speech later on. What I was going to say is the following thing, Phil. I know it was blasphemous. I said it in a moment of weakness.
Let me ask you, so why didn't you just delete it?
I don't know why I didn't delete it. I went ahead and I apologized for it. And I said it in a moment of weakness because you want to know something, Phil? I'm sick and tired.
Here we go.
No. I just am tired. I'm tired. I can barely get myself out of bed in the morning. I can barely...
Why don't...
Margaret, please.
Why don't you check your... You know, you've got enough money for a vacation.
Yeah, I got enough money for a lot of things. But I don't dare turn the restaurant over to Rudy or to Chef Chedilia, and here's why. I respect both those men immensely. Rudy has a fiduciary interest because he's part owner of the Prime Rib Room along with me. Chef Chedilia, my executive chef, is, let's face it, I mean, I'm not telling any secrets, so without him, we're nothing.
Ted, you want to go? Ted Bell is talking to us, and if you guys hadn't followed any of this drama, either on our show or on Twitter, Ted Bell was discussing... first of all, you were talking about what?
I was talking about... What do you mean?
Well, what were you talking about?
Ted giving or something?
Was it Ted Thanks Ted or Ted's Giving?
Yeah. It was something. I forget what it was. I don't care anymore. But yeah. Ted Aween.
What were you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
We're not doing anything for Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving, and I'm here. Okay.
Oh, now I understand.
Yeah, see, he gets it.
Right. All right, so you're here in Florida for Thanksgiving, so there's nothing special going on at the restaurant?
No, but we will have the usual turkey dinners. We'll have turkey dinners, we'll have stuffing. Certainly we have the Ted, the rum and the coke. We have stuffed Ted, which...
What is stuffed Ted?
What are you laughing at?
Stuffed Ted, is that like a stuffed turkey breast?
Thank you very much. Dr. Sadler understands. It's a stuffed turkey breast. Get it?
What do you mean, do I get it?
Well, that's why it's called Stuffed Ted.
Because it's Thanksgiving.
Yes.
A stuffed turkey. All right, stuffed Ted. Now, do you still have baked Ted?
Baked Ted is a dessert. We serve baked Ted all, you know, this...
Baked Alaska is what it's based on.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Baked Alaska is what it's based... Margaret, you know more about it. Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sadler. Baked Alaska is a ice cream. It's really a cake, a chocolate cake with ice cream in the middle. It is flambéed, so it gets a beautiful outer chocolatey crust, but the ice cream itself remains intact, insoluble, the integrity of which has not been compromised. It's a delicious dessert. It takes quite a bit to prepare. And at Ted's of Beverly Hills, they have their version called Baked Ted. I think it's a triumph, Ted. You do very well.
Thank you very much.
Well, I've had it.
We don't. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Sadler.
Why can't I say the things I want to say?
Because you're about to bag on the Baked Ted. You had it the other day. Didn't you say that the ice cream had melted?
No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I said it to you, but I could have said it publicly, and now you just said it publicly.
What?
All right. Hey, so Ted Bell is with us. You're here with Dr. Sadler and Margaret Gray. And Ted, you actually led the show off, and you are hosting, but you brought me in.
Well, I did. I brought you in, Phil, so we can be clear on Tedmas. Tedoween was a disaster. I got sued. You did get sued, and we discussed this on the show. You got sued because you were being a vampire. You know, do we got to go through this again?
No, I mean, we don't.
All right. Well, Margaret, you do it.
Well, as far as I understand it, you got into a cape. And you came up on one elderly couple.
Yeah.
And went, you assumed the Count Dracula pose.
I had the arms out with the bat wings with the cape, and I went, good evening. And the elderly wife projectile vomited. Now, right there, I'm told by my attorney, that was actionable. Right there, I've got a lawsuit. Right there, I could have taken her to town, taken her to the cleaners.
Why?
Why? She opened up a fire hose of vomit on me.
You were...
Here's Henry.
What are you laughing at, Mr. Henry?
Well, what are you laughing at, Dr. Sadler?
I'm laughing at what Mr. Henry's laughing at.
I'm laughing at the fact that the woman opened up a fire hose of vomit on you. Yes, she did. Now, you tell me that's not actionable in any court of the land.
I would... Ted, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. But what happened?
Well, what happened was that I wound up paying her off, and her and her husband, because they said that they had been subjected to a shock in the middle of their Halloween. You know, we were having kind of a romantic Halloween dinner for two. So you bring your wife, or you bring your girlfriend, and you sit at a table, and there's nice mood lighting, you know, for Halloween. So we have all of the orange pumpkins and... but it's the lights are low, and we're giving you the Bloody Ted, which is, of course, the Bloody Mary. And then I come out of nowhere. I creep up from behind you, wherever you want me to be, and I go, woo, like that. Or, you know, you just came up, and you just went, what? I went up, and I said, good evening. I said, children of the night, listen, what beautiful music. I watched Dracula 5 times to try to get good lines, and I can't. I know the line. Listen to the children of the night, what beautiful music they make. Oh, well, okay, Bela Lugosi. That's just because I've seen the movie. Yeah, like how many dozens of times? Anyway, a lot of times, yeah.
So you said this line, and it frightened the woman to the point where she projectile vomited onto you, and then they sued you.
Yes, then they... How's your hand, by the way?
How's his fanny?
How's his hand?
My hand's fine, Ted.
All right. What happened was that, and I said, you know what, throw some money at him and get him out of here. That's basically what I said.
Did you settle this in court?
The attorneys settled it the next day. So, it was all good. It was all good.
Ted Bell is with us, folks, along with Margaret Gray and Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler, I suppose you could speak to, and we dealt with this in the pre-show, but you could speak to what the hell happened to my hand.
Yeah. What happened to Phil was he was on his way out onto the patio here at Jackie's house, and in Western Florida, and Phil was about to sit down on the patio, and were you going to begin the show? Or
Yeah, I was doing some preliminary stuff.
And he tripped over a pressure washer. The cord and the hose of this pressure washer were sort of left out there in the open. How come you tripped on it?
It was dark, and I was reaching over to turn the patio light on.
All right, so at no time was any of this your fault.
Excuse me, Ted, but I'm talking to Dr. Sadler.
At no time was... You're asking me about lawsuits.
Who am I going to sue? I'm not suing anybody. So, So what happened, Dr. Sadler, was I reached over to turn the lights on here. There's a fan and a light. It's very cool tonight in South Florida, which is a real change of pace because it's usually... I mean, more often than not, it's warm. But I reached over to turn the light on. Then I turned back to close the door, and I tripped.
Now, when you tripped, you caught some portion of the door that cut open the upper palm of your left hand, as far as I can tell. And I'm just looking at it right now. Here, let me just...
Please, Doc. It's...
Okay, that, right there. So it cut open the upper palm of the hand, and I noticed it was bleeding quite profusely.
I thought that...
Well, Phil thought he might need to go to urgent care and get a stitch.
You know.
Well, what are you laughing at? You're the doctor.
Well, I thought that was a little bit overreacting. What we did do, though, folks, is we put a pressure bandage on that part of the hand. We put some gauze, and then Jackie actually wrapped it with, tape, surgical tape, what have you, and put the pressure on. It looks as if it's... doing very fine now. It's not, it ain't not, I mean, it isn't.
You're doing good, huh?
You got something to beat it?
Ted, let's everybody be friends here.
So I put on the gauze, I put on the pressure bandage, but you ought to be all right. There's no bleeding. I don't see any bleeding, leaking down. But this speaks to the need for all of us to be very careful, especially during these holiday times.
Now, Phil, question, have you been drinking today?
No, I have not, and you know I haven't. And no, thank you, no, no, no. What are you getting so defensive for? Because that's always the assumption. You know, I come to Florida, I party with Jackie. Sure, we have a couple of belts on the weekend. This is a weeknight. We're working. We got Thanksgiving coming up, so that's going to be nuts enough. No, I was not. I was literally trying to go. I was going to turn back and close the door, and I cut the palm of my hand. Thank God it's my left hand.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank God it's the left hand.
Yeah, you know? Boy, what a child.
Oh. Thank God it's the left hand.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sadler. And so, Phil, no worse for the wear. I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm Bodine Phillips. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where you can get a backstage pass, a subscription to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, by simply going on to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, going to sign up, and signing up. Get a subscription for 1 month for 1 year. You'll be glad you did. And even if you aren't, think of all the joy you bring to Phil when you give him money for his archives. 45,000 plus hours. That may not be enough for you. You may need more. You may think you can go someplace to find more. Guess what? No, you can't. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with 45,000 plus hours of archive material from the radio show to the digicast. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Get a subscription today. I'm Ward Duxley.
Yeah, sometimes known as Wayne.
Shut up. And welcome back, folks, to the Phil Hendry Show here live from South Florida at Jackie Bale's residence. Jackie, as you know, is packing the house to sell the house to move to California. It's been a long, long process. And when you've lived in a house for 30 years, it is not an easy thing to do. You just don't turn around and do it.
It's, and you know something, Jackie, bless her heart, she's like me. She is a control freak. So if you're going to help her, then friend, you better do exactly as she says, or when they find you, it won't be all of you.
Good God. Oh my God, what are you talking about?
You heard me.
When they find you, it won't be all of you.
That's right.
So, Miss Gray.
Don't play it back to me, Ted.
No, I gotta know. So if I did something, if I tried to help you...
You heard what I said. If they found you, if they found you, it'd be just part of you.
What about the rest of me?
Good luck.
Okay, Margaret, so we get it that, you know, don't mess with you when it comes to,
When it comes to jumping in, to use the colloquialism of many of our young people, if you jump into my shit...
God damn.
That's right. Have a care.
All right, well, I don't think it would be that bad with Jackie, but she's definitely one girl who knows what she wants, and that's what it is. Ted?
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Phil. So I want to remind people,
what are you, bored?
A little bit, because here's the thing. I came out here thinking there'd be some laughs. You're sitting here having coffee. Well, go get a drink, then.
You can have a drink if you want to.
I can have a drink?
He took a swing at me. Okay, so Ted Bell and Jay Santos.
Do that.
Yeah, let me make you a drink.
You guys go off and make a drink. Frank, how you doing?
Hey, I'm better than Custer, young man, and
great to be in Florida again. It's been since October, early October, when we were last here, and I was saying to Margaret, I miss going over to Jackie's in South Florida, and it reminds me of the early days that I spent as a film producer in the Nudie Cooties.
You never said you were in the Nudie Cooties.
Well, you know, let me say this. I kind of wish I had. When I was in South Florida, I was still producing legitimate sort of spring break beach movies, and then went to California and got into the ground floor of the beach blanket surf movies out there. But and also, of course, I owned a couple of strip joints, but got to California, and it became really where I met Margaret, and that's where we started our family. But I tell you, South Florida is a place I miss. Well, you were down here, Frank, when Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, yeah.
South Florida, one time Miami, had at one time, it was the place to be. You had Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., all of the Rat Pack. And while they, of course, did spend time in Las Vegas, they loved to hang out at Miami Beach and patrol the old joints, whether it be the Sammy Davis, the Fontainebleau and the Eden Rock and places like that, or the old Casper's Club, owned by Webb Casper. And then that was the Casper's Club. And where was that? That was up in Hallandale Beach. And then Sammy Davis Jr. held forth at Takaro's. And I guess she was there twice a year. And
Sammy Davis Jr. was in Vegas and between...
Yeah. She went between Vegas and Miami Beach. And Sammy, she had some beautiful shows, because it wasn't just Sammy Davis. She had all the showgirls, and you'd see them dancing and
Get some good memories there, huh, Frank?
Well, yes, I do, because I met a couple. Before I knew you, Margaret, this is before I knew you, there were a couple of the showgirls. One of them said to me one night, we're having a party, and we have a whole floor at the Eden Rock, so why don't you, if you're able to, come on up.
And did you?
Wouldn't you like to know? Yes, of course I did, Margaret. I was young before I met you, so... And Sammy, she said to me, go for it. So I went up, I met this one young lady, and we didn't do anything, Margaret. He showed me around town. Of course, I'd already been around town, but I asked him to show me around town anyway, and he and I shared some drinks, and he was in a very short skirt. Those elbow gloves, you know, the...
Oh, yeah, those are those old-school ones.
Let me guess, she had a cigarette holder?
Oh, yeah, he had a cigarette holder, and he'd always say, light my cigarette, will you, Frank? And so that began many a fun trip to South Florida.
That's the cool thing about South Florida, Miami, that it has that. And then, of course, that was the 60s and 50s, right?
That was the 60s and 50s. And then Miami became... football country, and of course, much of the Cuban American community began to expand in those years on through the 70s. Now comes the 80s, and you had
Miami Vice.
Miami Vice come in, and you had an acting teacher, Phil Robert DeVonzo.
Yeah, Robert was on some early episodes of Miami Vice because he's from Miami. And
what's the story with?
And Robert told a story in class one night. This is before he knew that I had worked in Miami in the late 70s. He said, you know, he was a soccer player as a kid, and he went to Italy, and was a member of a youth academy over there. One of the Italian teams had a junior academy, a soccer academy. He comes back to the States, and as a young 16, 17-year-old, he's part of the youth squad of the Fort Lauderdale Strikers.
Oh, my God, you used to go to those games.
Yeah, well, what happened was, I'm in town working for WSHE in 1970, so I'm 26, and Robert was on the squad. He was on the Fort Lauderdale Strikers squad as a young, maybe an under 18, under 21 player. So he was on the sidelines for those games, and a couple of the games, we had a promotion going with the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. They had a party, a fan party, at one of the hotels. So Who knows? You know, I might have run into my future acting coach at one of these parties. But he said, yeah, he remembered those games. You took an acting class from who? Robert DeVonzo. He's an acting teacher in Los Angeles. But anyway, I say that to say he had been in some of those early Miami Vice shows. Well, Miami Vice began the Hollywood, the phase two of the Hollywoodization of Miami. And then come the expansion.
South Beach.
Yes, what they used to call the Art Deco. Maybe they still call it the Art Deco District. I have no idea. Haven't been down to Miami in a number of years, but they call the Art Deco.
You call it Art Deco?
I didn't call it Art Deco, Dicko.
Okay, hold on for a minute.
I'm trying to make a
point. Hold on for a minute. Mr. Henry, I come on your program. I come down here to be your medical advisor, and I don't need him or any of them treating me like I'm the idiot son, okay? Now, you call me Art Deco. You watch what happens, and you won't like it.
Oh, wow. Hey, come on. Grow the hell up, everybody.
Does that mean me?
Yeah, Ted, that means you.
Oh, boy.
We just had it. Ted and I are doing great. We just made a drink.
All right, well, you guys sit down there. Yeah, sit down and have your drink.
Hey, let me tell you something, brains. You can't even get the gender right on people. Don't talk to my husband that way. That's what I'm doing.
Wait a minute. Wait. I don't need this stuff, so go ahead, Frank.
I don't know what I'm just trying to say that the Art Deco. Okay, I'm sorry I called you Art Deco.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, anyway, yeah, then comes South Beach, and you know the rest, Phil.
So, Frank Gray joining us here as he remembers the early days. It's always kind of fun, Frank, listening to you talk about the early days in Miami and what you did. Did you know, you talked about producing Nudie Cuties.
Frank talks about producing the Nudie Cuties. You knew some of the early producers. You weren't producing yourself, were you?
No, I didn't. I put a couple of bucks into a couple of movies, and I heard Chris Norton talking about being a Nudie Cutie. Chris Norton's not old enough to have been in a Nudie Cutie. Those were back in the early 60s, and that's when you were talking to her about that, right? Chris was talking about being in Nudie Cuties. I don't think it was the ones that you're talking about.
I helped produce some of the early Nudie Cuties that were produced out of Fort Lauderdale and Miami Beach. For instance, there was the one, Margaret, what was it?
Well, that was the early one called Flesh Rampage.
Yeah, Flesh Rampage. It was a takeoff on Flesh Gordon. And
what are you talking about?
Hey, don't worry about it, Ted. And then there was another one called Chris knows a lot of those films. I don't even remember half of them.
There's a lot of guys on this show that know all about Nudie Cutie movies. Does that disturb you?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
This is Phil Henry here with Frank Gray, Margaret Gray. We have Ted Bell joining us. We're very happy to have Ted out from Los Angeles with us. Dr. Jim Sadler also. So, Dr. Sadler, thank you again for being at hand, and I don't mean that as a pun, when I cut my hand open on the door over here.
Yeah. It was touch and go, but we got it bandaged up thanks to Jackie. She had all of the bandages, and she had all of
tape and, like, surgical tape.
Yeah, surgical tape. And
this is an interesting thing about you, Dr. Sadler. Listen, I think I have a right to ask this. You're a doctor, and a man of achievement, but you don't know medical terms.
This is what I keep saying to people.
But it is interesting, Doc.
It may be interesting. I got into medicine to heal people, not to stand there and spout all kinds of fancy words and go, yeah, I know all kinds of words. You know, hypodermic needle and spoobin, you know.
Spoobin?
Okay, forget it.
Well,
yeah, everybody's laughing now, folks. Mr. Henry, Mr. Bell, Ms. Gray, Mr. Gray.
It was funny, okay? Christ, she can't take a joke.
Dr. Sadler, you have to understand the word spoobin, the way you said it.
Well, okay. But I got into medicine because I want to cure people.
Well,
I cure people. You understand? for the first time in my life, I could make a change and a difference in people's lives. And so when I say the things I say and I do the things what I do it
for love.
Not for love. I do it because, you know, I want to get something done. That's all I want.
You know, I can relate to that. It was like Tedmas, you know. I finally busted through.
Right. You were sick and tired of being Mr. Goody Two-Shoes.
Yeah, there you go, right there. You get sick and tired of being Mr. Goody Two-Shoes and trying to impress your mama, you know.
Right, right. And when I went to medical school, I was trying to impress my mother because she was a cloying, suffocating...
So this is your issue?
No, that's not my issue. But my mother was very... But I finally said, you know what? Even if I don't know the big words and I can't do it right, I know... Did I stop the bleeding in your hand?
Yes.
And did you go to the hospital? Did you have to have a stitch?
No.
Why? Why do you suppose that was?
Because you know what you're doing.
Because I know what I'm doing. Bingo. Give the man a cigar. So I took the cloth and the tape and I stuck it on there.
Yeah, but you don't know what the actual term is.
I triaged the wound. I don't know.
So you took the tape and the cloth and you stuck it on there.
Right.
So you know what to do, you just don't know.
I don't know how to do the fancy talk, see? Everybody with the fancy talk. Not me. No, not me. Not the Jim Sadler. I'm the guy that gets the job done.
Well, you know, again, both you guys have kind of shared a commonality here, Ted. Well, I was going to say, because I know where Dr. Sadler's coming from, because that's how I felt right after Ted Aween, when I got sued and she projectile vomited on me, you know.
That's a rough one, Ted. He projectile vomited. What did his husband say?
The husband sat there and just stared like, no big thing, and continued cutting into his pork cutlet. You know?
Oh, boy. So she's eating the pork cutlet, and the wife projectile vomited onto you.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I remember I got on Twitter that night or a couple of nights later, and I said, hey, you know what? Did you have fun? Really? You like Ted Aween? How about this now? Tedmas. Okay? And, oh, yeah, I was going to give away small images of myself in a diaper, Ted in a manger.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Because I had just gotten sick and tired of being Mr. As you said, Dr. Sadler, Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, Mr. Family-oriented, okay? I got tired.
Well, you can. You can get very tired. Sometimes you have to just let yourself throw caution to the wind, and you just say, F it.
That's what I did.
You say, F it, and this is what I did with my medical degree. So I fully understand.
You can't be so loosey-goose with things that you are offensive and
why not?
Because what's the point of offending people who never did you any harm? Oh, what? Don't give me that, Phil. Let me tell you something. You know, I love my customers, but I also... I say this, and they understand. I love my customers, but I also despise the very ground they walk on because, you know, they only love me as long as I'm making with the Teds and I've got the thick, juicy, the thick and juicies, as I call them. And I'm coming up with the onion loaf and the onion ring loaf, and I'm coming up with the big thick steak fries and the garlic mashed potatoes and the broccoli with the cheese sauce and on and on and on and on.
Ted, the food at your place is magnificent.
I'll tell you right now, Ted, I'm getting hungry for it. What do you say, Margaret? Let's go over to her place tonight.
Can we? Oh, we can't. We're in Florida.
Yeah, hey, bingo.
Hey, Ted, what about the time you opened up the joint? You had a place here in Miami, didn't you?
I did. That was back in the early 2000s. We opened up a place in Miami. We had a place in D.C. We had a place in Honolulu. It got to be too much for me, okay? I was stretched too thin. And the other thing about Miami, it's bad enough having the Dunphy brothers coming into the joint in Beverly Hills, but then I had a lot of these creeps coming in, and I say this with the greatest of respect, but I can't do it, okay? I can't have these wise guys hanging around. Watch it, Ted. All right, I'm sorry. Let me just put it to you this way. I was, you know, stretched a little thin financially in Miami, as well as some of these other places. So
you closed down 1, 2, 3 restaurants.
Yeah, I did. I had a management deal with, Eddie Fulpaby. You know that guy?
Eddie the baby. Yeah, I know who she is.
Yeah. Well, he was managing restaurants.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. and managed me right into the ground. So,
you know what? One restaurant, the restaurant business, I don't know anything about the restaurant business, Ted. You do. As far as I have heard, it's brutal.
Brutal?
Yeah?
You got to get going.
I know when we got to get going. Ted, it's brutal, right?
He doesn't seem like himself. Hey, Ted, are you all right?
Okay, so I guess the restaurant business. Go get another drink, Ted. The restaurant business is brutal. From South Florida, we appreciate you being with us here tonight, folks. Be with us again tomorrow night, and on Thursday, we will have a replay of our annual Thanksgiving Bob Green Frozen Turkey or Thawed Turkey Show. The Frozen or Thawed Show, our annual Thanksgiving show, coming up on Thanksgiving, which is, what is it going to be, the 25th? Today's the 23rd? Yeah, the 24th. That's tomorrow. Wait a minute. No, it isn't. It's Thursday. Today's the 23rd. I don't know what date it is. The 25th, something like that. We'll figure it out. You figure it out.
I'm sure they have calendars. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. They've got... Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for CMPRI Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Bye.